Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, good evening, you sick motherfuckers. Welcome to another episode of the Video Nasty Project. Tonight, we've got a very special movie lined up for you. Tonight, we've got a movie from the man who brought you this. That's right, it's Luigi Cozzi's People Exploding Extravaganza, Alien Contamination. Check out the trailer.
We got a ship, the Caribbean Lady, heading towards the Marzano Bridge. It's not answering our radio calls. Hey, man, suspense is killing me. What do you say?
There's not a soul in sight. Really weird.
There's somebody in there, I'm sure of it.
They come from outer space.
Why not? How many worlds are there in the universe? Millions. Perhaps billions.
Unless they come from much closer, but...
Mars has always stimulated man's imagination. But as far as that cave was concerned, there was absolutely nothing in there.
You were telling the truth all along.
These are photographs. But there hasn't been another expedition to Mars.
No. These were found here, on Earth. Thousands of them.
The woman is Stella Holmes, a first-class mind.
Gentlemen and lady would like information about our coffee.
All your questions will be answered here. It's too late. Hamilton has got your friends.
So, Italians, the masters of ripping off other movies. How many movies did you get?
About three. Three of them. Alien, and then there was, like, Body Snatchers.
The Crazies.
And The Crazies and Zombie. The Lucio Fulci.
Yeah, the zombie flesh eaters. That's how the movie pretty much starts out, with the boat coming into the harbor of New York. The boat's coming in, and they got the Harbor Patrol coming out, and they've got... Hey, there's nobody on the boat. What the hell's up with the boat? well, we better send a team out to take a look and see what happens. So they come out in their little beekeeper suits and they start looking around and they're like, the boat's evacuated. Where is everybody? It's very, very Maurice Lest. They get down to the cargo hold and there's a whole bunch of eggs.
Some of them are bigger than the others, size of footballs, and they're kind of glowy. And
yeah, it's because of heat.
And once you touch them, that's it for your ass. Explode on contact.
Like. And that's the set piece of the movie, is that when you touch the eggs and you get egg juice on them, you all of a sudden start convulsing and you explode.
Ugh, very literally, gutturally. Ugh, guts.
So the movie is basically trying to out-alien Alien.
Mm-hmm.
You had issues with the boat.
Look, considering that when a boat is underway of that size, there has to be crew on the bridge at all times. At all times. There's no way that boat would be underway with no crew on the bridge when your alien bad guy has no mobility.
They're eggs. How many eggs have feet? How many eggs have you seen that have feet?
None.
None. Right. None.
And if the alien eggs had gotten to the bridge to do something to the crew, there should be evidence of the eggs splattered all over the bridge.
But no, the captain, he's all off in a closet somewhere so they can, where's everybody? They open the door and peekaboo, here's a dead body.
Yeah.
Or like the guy that's hanging out on the stairs that's kind of dead and droopy on the stairs.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to nominate these guys for worst scientists ever since Prometheus. Because there's that one scientist who's like, hey, here's an egg that's rolled under this heating duct and it's glowing and pulsating and you hear humming. And they're like, I'm going to pick it up and take it. And he's like, and the boss is like, no, don't touch the egg. And I'm going to touch the egg. I'm touching the egg. Picks up the egg. Egg juice explodes over him. And he goes, pfft.
As does the other two.
As does pretty much everybody in the team except for
the cop,
the hero of the piece.
Yeah.
And it must be mentioned, they always make a noise. This kind of droning, humming noise.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, eh?
It implies that there's something living inside the egg, but there isn't.
We never see any evidence of something scurrying out of the egg. No facehugger runs away. It just, egg juice explodes all over you and you die.
Yeah.
So, The cop goes and reports to his superiors, which evidently send him up the food chain to central command and the I'm the right-hand man of the president, a.k.a. the lady of the peace.
Is it her name? Stella Holmes. Stella Holmes.
Who would have been Carolyn Monroe, but the producer said, nah, we don't want Carolyn Monroe.
Which would have been perfect because Carolyn Monroe in the previous Luigi Cozzi movie, which this is, was Stella Starr. And then they even went so far as to alter the actress's name in this movie to the last name of Monroe when it was something like Malberg or something like that to kind of go, ooh, that's interesting. Monroe, Stella, Luigi Cozzi. That's funny.
So the government, they go to the warehouse. They track down the coffee beans that the shipment was disguised as. And they're like, hey, there's a whole bunch of coffee beans over in this warehouse. We better go investigate. So they go up and investigate the warehouse. And, yeah, there's, like, three dudes in there that are mind-controlled, mind-whammied, sort of. And they shoot one of the eggs, and they get egg juice on them, and they explode because they don't want to be caught, I guess, apparently. Yeah.
Suicide. Then they go and talk to that cop who's in a glass case in this building, and he goes freaking out. And the colonel has to convince him to come along, you know, to do this quest to find out what the hell's going on. And then she has to go and talk to one of the two astronauts that went to Mars, where these things may have presumably hitched a ride in the first place and come back to Earth. And the one astronaut, he's a total alcoholic. No, he's kind of lying back.
Well, he's washed out of the service.
Yeah, and he has obviously major psychological problems and nightmares. And the colonel's taking a hard edge approach to it. She's kind of just calling into question his manliness and all that. And
despite the fact that she was the one who was on the committee that threw him under the bus.
Yeah, and she completely just scoffed at him. And then eventually, after seeing these things in action, like, well, I was wrong. I admit it. Blah blah blah.
We better take international security and find out what's up with these things.
And he basically comes back with this tale about being on Mars, on the polar cap, and then going into this cave that looks like a giant monster head with eyes and stalactite teeth, and then going into this obvious reference to the the derelict spaceship chamber in Alien, this cavern with thousands of eggy wags everywhere. And then something happens to, Hamilton, the other astronaut, the missing one. And I might mention the cheapness of the spacesuits, because they're wearing motorcycle helmets minus the face plates underneath these space helmets.
So Stella and the two astronauts, they say, well, we probably ought to get to the bottom of this. And so they go down to the tropics. And that's when the movie shifts from being this kind of dark alien wannabe to kind of this half-assed James Bond adventure knockoff. They wander around investigating, I use the term very loosely, and one of them rents a biplane to go fly over, and I'm going to see if I can spot their base from the air. And Stella and the cop, they go up to the plantation where the coffee beans are being picked, and basically their investigation consists of them knocking on the front door and asking, hey, have you seen aliens here?
And when they finally get to this one part of the plantation that has all this junk in it, like, what the fuck? A downed helicopter carcass and then some other trash. They're met with guns. Lots of Uzis, those 9mm with the shoulder things. And 357 Magnums led by Hamilton, who's seen previously. Oh my God! I mean,
his plane went down in the ocean, and he was never found. Yeah, well,
obviously. No, he was obviously under the alien mind control to bring eggs to Earth, and
yeah, and he's hip to their game before they even get very far, because his assistant, who runs the plantation, comes to him on a boat moored at the dock and tells him, you know, basically they're here, and he wants to take care of the colonel first, because she's a major, you know, thorn in his side. So they send an eggy wag to her hotel room, put in her shower, the bathroom, by one of his lackeys.
Yes, let's dissect the alien in the bathroom scene a little bit. Where, yeah, they was like, hey, let's assassinate one of our opponents by putting in the egg in the room so that it bursts and she gets egg juice on her and she dies. That is a shit way to assassinate somebody.
They conceived a scene where, okay, let's have her trapped in a room with an egg and she has to get out. That's where they started.
Which, when executed correctly, could be a pretty decent scene.
Yes, but the way it's implemented is done horribly wrong. Okay, we know that all of the henchmen are carrying guns. So if this man is able to sneak into her hotel room and get to her freaking bathroom while she's in the shower, he's got the door open to put the egg in the bathroom. Why doesn't he just shoot her in the shower?
Or here you are, you've got a pulsating egg on the floor that's going to explode and cover you in egg juice. Fine. Why don't you take the towels and cover the egg, and like maybe the shower curtain and cover the egg, and then the rope that you're on, what the hell, and cover the egg. So that way, when it explodes, all your towels and shower curtains and robes are covered in egg juice and not you.
Take the shower curtain, pick the egg up, put it in the shower, and crank the cold water.
It's a shit scene. Okay, we'll give it that. Let's take all of that nonsense off the table, and let's assume that it was well executed. It just went on for far too long.
Yes.
It was like 10 minutes of just, oh my God, this egg! Well, yeah. And she's screaming and pounding at the door, and more egg, and hey,
she's trying to pick the lock.
She's trying to pick the lock. The astronauts are wandering up and down the hall outside, and like, well, should we get her? Nah, leave her. We'll come get her later. And it just, it's like anti-Hitchcock. It's like just this protracted, drug-on, boring scene.
It is one of a number of incidents going all the way back to the beginning of the film where this guy's got it in his head, whoever it is who's editing or directing, that I want to build suspense, I want to build tension in the audience, and he has no clue how to do it.
He thinks none more at is all. More. Clearly more is not more in this case.
Yeah, it's very I've been wanting to just blame it across the board as lazy filmmaking, lazy filmmaking, and lazy filmmaking. Well, all right, yes, lazy filmmaking, but it's also a not knowing what they're doing.
There is one aspect of the movie that bugged the fuck out of me, and they should have been knowing what they're doing. The soundtrack is done by Goblin. And that means, holy crap, this is going to be a great soundtrack. Holy crap, no, it's not. This is a terrible soundtrack. This is not Goblin at its finest. It's kind of banging on the keyboard. Sounds like an 8-bit console exploded.
I don't think they actually were contracted to do it. I think the guy simply went, I'm going to use Goblin's music. Probably didn't even talk to them and took a bunch of junk shit that they did.
Some B-sides and just kind of slapped it on the soundtrack.
Yeah. That would be the explanation for it. Because I will concede to most of the films that you see a Goblin soundtrack on, the soundtrack actually has some thought and reason to it. It works well.
And here it was just present. It was just correct. Here.
I don't like their music, but when it's used well.
I think that's the difference between Dario Argento and Luigi Cozzi.
Yes.
The other problem that I have with this movie, so you've got a shower scene in an Italian movie. Why do we not get some titties? There's no nudity in the movie at all. It's a freaking Italian exploitation movie. What the hell's up with that?
It could be entirely they wanted to, which is why he wanted Carolyn Monroe. He knew he could get nudity out of her. The actress that got cast in her place refuses to do nudity.
All right, that's smart.
I've never seen her naked myself. I have seen her photo ads and stuff. And
I actually was curious and went digging. She's never done any nudity. Carolyn Monroe did it all the time. And that was probably why the producer said no. I don't want nudity. The director did. The producer didn't. Let's go to the end of the film.
All right.
We see a couple of sets again where there's actually some money spent.
The evil underground lair is a reasonably well done set with the jumpsuited henchmen wandering around
with full headgear,
handling the eggs and processing them.
I mean, the set design was pretty solid, corrugated metal floor. You know, I mean, that's not cheap to make. You know, they had to fight on top of that thing, so they obviously had to have some padding, maybe. Plus, the alien in question, the thing, you know, from the title here.
Yeah. Now the alien itself. And we're jaded because, in some cases, because we've seen the real aliens realized badly in the past, and we've seen aliens realized quite well. And I think this is a middle ground. They put a lot of money into making that alien. The person who made it wasn't that good an artist.
Cozzi apparently did not like the alien. He wanted to have a stop-motion creature at the end, and the producers overrode him. Yeah. And so he stuck with this, oh my God, I hate this thing, piece of crap. And so he had to do rapid cuts and, like, weird lighting and keep it in the shadows so it wasn't very obvious that it was a fake alien. You know, maybe it's because I've watched Doctor Who for 25, 30 years now. I didn't think it was that bad. It was certainly no worse than a 70s episode of Tom Baker.
There's money that went into the alien. It's just, if it's going to be a puppet, they could have done better with a puppet.
Now, the dude getting eaten by the alien at the end, that would look like shit.
Actually, that eating thing reminded me of the prequel to The Thing that came out 7 years ago. It had exact same scene with the monster eating this guy, you know, just chomping down on him, you know, head to toe. And I saw this, I was like, holy shit, I wonder if they ripped that off. But, you know, the alien reminded me of Japanese tentacle porn monsters.
There is one other serious flaw with the whole plan and the plantation in the end of the movie. So you have these eggs that when they get warm, they hatch and explode egg juice over whoever's nearby. In the tropics, where it's warm. And so your eggs would just be exploding out in the field, covering nobody with egg juice.
There's also the whole element of there's one alien, and the only thing that's being accomplished with the eggs is that it kills whoever's near them when they explode. That's it. That's not an invasion.
It's a shit plan. Let's just drop invasion.
It's an annihilation. Maybe it just wants the plant to itself. Who knows?
Yeah, one alien all by himself on a planet laying eggs that don't have anything in them except juice.
Yeah, that's kind of a missing plot element here.
Lazy filmmaking. Huh. I want to capitalize on the sensation of the movie Alien by doing alien-like things in a movie with no plot.
So did the movie get anything right?
Well, there's some good atmosphere, but that was about it, really. I mean, I did like the acting of the guy who played Hamilton. he was fucking solid as fuck. This guy was intimidating when he was just standing there doing nothing. I mean, he comes in, there's this brilliant shot with him and one of his lackeys, and they cut when they're in the warehouse, and there's shafts of light coming from the skylights, and they're pointing their guns at the colonel and the cop. And they walk up there, and I thought, oh my God, this is from another movie. This would be perfect as a Bond villain. This guy reminded me of Le Chiffre from the remake of Casino Royale, the act Mads Mikkelsen, who played him in that. Except this is before there was Mads Mikkelsen. I thought, my God, why is this guy saddled with this shit movie? He was great. Every time he was on screen, I was paying attention. I couldn't give a fuck about most of the others, although I did like the astronaut. He reminded me a little bit of that Canadian actor who was the second Nick Knight, not the first one. But
you mean Rick Springfield?
No, I was going to say, no, not Rick Springfield.
He was
the first one.
He was the first one.
Yeah, I know, I have Nick Knight. I meant the second one, the Canadian actor.
Yeah.
But he got a little more better, you know, as after he kind of ditched the I'm just drunk, I don't want to deal with life. And then he slapped the colonel because she was chastising his manhood. And then they had this understanding between them. I was thinking, Han and Leia, that's who these two remind me of.
Except by from shit actors.
Yeah, basically.
Not necessarily. He sometimes. McCulloch?
Ian McCulloch. Yeah.
He's not a shit actor.
Okay, fine. That's fair enough. He was great in Zombie Flesh Eaters. He was pretty good in that Doctor Who episode that he was in.
I actually will give them an A for effort for trying to make an alien-like film. All right? The thought, okay, you're making an alien-like film. Their execution of it just sucked.
You could make a case that, hey, it was just a low-budget alien knockoff from a low-budget studio. But Roger Corman made Galaxy of Terror and what was that other one? That Planet of Fear. He basically made Alien, this exact movie, twice. And it looks so much better.
With the same sets in some cases.
Yeah.
So having low-budget roots is not an excuse for having a shit movie.
If you know what you're doing.
Definitely. You know what you're doing. And there were some people in this film that did know what they were doing. I mean, let's look at his previous works. The movie he did right before this with Carolyn Monroe. Star Crash. Yeah. That's not a bad film. It's very George, very, very, very much like what you'd see in a George Foreman film.
Roger Corman. George Foreman was the boxer.
I do like that grill.
It's called I'm Senile, all right?
Was it appropriate to leave alien contamination off the list?
I think it's kind of a little overdone, but nothing that I would see giving somebody nightmares necessarily, the kind of people that would watch this movie in the first place.
Would you have left it off the list? Was it appropriate to leave it off the list?
I don't think it should have necessarily been left off the list. I think they could have pushed on it a little harder. The gore was at an unnecessary level and was done deliberately to shock. And the concern at the time from the people was expressly that reason. Now, today's standards, let it go.
Clearly, Kotze wanted to out-alien Alien with recreating the chestburster scene. But instead of the one masterful shot, the one moment that pretty much defined the entire movie, he went with the, let's just do it a bunch of times and freak the fuck out of people. And where Ridley Scott, I mean, it comes in a lull in a movie, it's this, you have this sense of unease, there's this tension from the cast, and then bam, and it sets the tone for the rest of the movie. Here, it's just like repetitive, boring. So no, I wouldn't put it on the list just because in this case, more is not more.
I can understand where the blue hairs would freak out. But and back in those days, I used to watch this kind of stuff when I was a kid, like 10, or I was 11 when this movie came out, and I remember not many movies like that freaked me the hell out. Some of them did. You know, but I started becoming jaded to it at a relatively early age, so I guess maybe I'm just different.
So you'd have quit the movie? you'd acquit the movie?
Generally speaking.
All right. It's appropriately off the list. Did you like the movie?
Meh.
Yeah, well,
okay. Well, I guess, yeah. No, that would be...
That would be, this would be a no. Meh would be...
Yeah, okay.
All right, shall we try that one again? Yeah. Did you like Alien Contamination?
It was lacking. Yeah. I wish they'd done a little more on Mars, established a little more of the look, you know, some more location stuff. Given that they spent a lot of money on locations and some of the sets, I think they should have done a little more there to give it more gravitas. When you finally see the alien, it's like, that's it. That's just the one. And then you got the explodey balls. And it just left me wanting more.
I think an extended, protracted flashback and maybe establishing their character and the mission a little more would have been useful.
Yeah, because it's lurking in the background. But that just didn't tie itself together for me enough. I just felt it was more generic, like it could have been from the bottom of the sea.
Do you like Alien Contamination?
I don't feel compelled to watch it again. I don't feel compelled to own it or have a copy of it. I'm not going to recommend it to anybody. If I hear somebody in passing saying, oh, I haven't seen that yet, my first question would be, are you a completionist? Do you want to see all of the work by that director? Okay, fine, go see it. Otherwise, I'm warning you now, you're going to wish you hadn't if you do it.
I'm going to go with meh. It's not terrible. It's not great. It just kind of... It's not... There's no lack of skill here. I mean, the monster looks good. It just... The story is bullshit.
That's a good solid meh all around. Don't get that very often.
Go watch Hercules. Go watch Star Crash. Go watch Galaxy of Fear, because all of those are so much better than this. Well, there we go. That's Alien Contamination back on the shelf. Join us again here next week when me, Jeff, and Ian take a crack at a legitimate actual film from a legitimate actual film studio. We take a look at Dead and Buried. In the meantime, drop us a email. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a comment down below. We'd love to hear from that, too. The email address is thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and, well, I guess we'll catch you next week for a good movie. Stay evil. Oh! Oh!